All right, we're here now with the song you just heard was Reaching Higher. That was by Roland Grappow. His solo album. A little background on it. It's his second solo album. I gave away the first one, actually, last hour. Congratulations. I don't even have the name in front of me. So that will be cool. And I will put in some of the karaoke album for a little background music here, actually. Let's put in the second volume since we have Roland Grappow on the phone. And I will talk to him for like 10, 15 minutes, and then you can call in and talk to him after I get done talking to him. So anyway, Roland, how you doing?
I'm fine, man.
How's it going?
Very good, I hope. You like this stuff, what you did, so this marathon is pretty long for you.
Nah, it's not that bad. I mean, I did it with Iron Maiden, with a bunch of crazy Maiden fans, so I can do it here again.
Okay,
so,
fine.
So, you know, you just... By the way, you know, before I say anything, Roland was the guy that came into Helloween, and actually 1988, I'm assuming, right? That's when, like, late 88 when Kai Hansen left them, right?
Yeah, that was Christmas 88. Mm-hmm. I was, confirmed as a member.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did Wyke find you, Michael Wyke find you to get you into the band?
There was a quite a funny story. I was not a famous musician before. I was in the Hamburg scene, like... local matador, you know, something like a guitar hero in Hamburg.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw me like 7-8 years before I joined Helloween, and that was, you know, pretty long time ago, you know. And so he liked my playing, and he was totally pissed after the show. He went home, that's what he said, you know, 8 years later. And then she started rehearsing, the same feeling I had when I saw Don Dokken playing in the end of the 70s, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was George Lynch already in the band. And I saw him playing in Hamburg, so it was the same club, and so he remembered that, and that's great. So that's why he is always into the past memory stuff, you know. So that was my,
Is Dokken from Germany, actually?
No.
Oh, I thought they were. I thought you were saying.
No, but they started the career in Germany.
Oh, okay, that's
came
right.
To Germany, and they had the record deal and the Deck Studios. You know, they record everything. The guy from Scorpions.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, really quick before I say anything, where exactly are you calling from? You're where in Germany?
In Hamburg.
Hamburg, Germany.
Yeah.
That's north. That's north towards the coast.
Yeah. when I was in America for holiday a long time ago, people mm-hmm. asked me, are you on the weekend always in the mountains? Yeah, of course. We don't have any here, so it's the north. It's the coast part next to Denmark. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, now a little bit about Helloween and stuff like that, you know, and your solo project, of course. You know, our solo project, first of all, you know, you have Mike Viscara on vocals. He was in Yngwie Malmsteen, which a lot of people, if they know Malmsteen, they would know he was in the band for the Seventh Sign album, I think, Magnum Opus. And, you know, how did you get him into the band? And, you know, you got another guy, Mike Tirana, who was a pretty very, very, like, very famous, like, almost underground famous drummer in the metal scene. You know, how did you get those guys and get them in your solo band?
As well, also Barry Sparks, the bass player.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was pretty easy. So I was a little fan of Yngwie, of course, and I followed his career, and I had all the records, and I saw him playing live in Hamburg, and I bought also the Life at Budokan video.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked the band, so it was the same band I have now in my solo band.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, oh, it would be great to play with them together because they're really like a team. And everybody was fired already. So maybe, and I said, yeah, maybe I will pick them up, but I don't want to follow his kind of steps, definitely not to... I did it already, like with the Four Seasons, the first solo record, like the classical influence,
mm-hmm.
kind of Yngwie style.
Mm-hmm.
But on the new record with the American guys, I wanted to do something which is more Roland Grappow instead of, you know, the Swedish fast finger.
Now, you know, as a bonus track on your Japanese album, you did a Separate Ways by Journey, and you know, were they a band that would really influence you a lot?
I was totally influenced by the 70s American kind of bands,
mm-hmm.
like Toto, Journey, Foreigner, Dix. I was really into this melodic stuff.
Come on, you didn't bring up Grand Funk Railroad.
And Grand Funk was that's not so melodic, but Grand Funk was the first band. So
yeah.
Mark Farner was my main influence. He was the reason why I started playing guitar and singing mm-hmm. at the same time in the beginning of the 70s. And so he's still, deep in my heart, he's still one of my heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Of
Yeah, I was thinking, how can you forget him? For a long time, you always bring him up. Mark Farner.
Mark Farner, yeah. But the problem is, you know, he influenced me in the beginning. But now, I mean, I have some bluesy kind of licks here and there. But, you know, this is like 70s music. This is such a long time ago. And for me, it's even sounding more like the end of the 60s instead of 70s. So, but I like still the melodic stuff, like, you know, Journey, Styx, and Toto as well. And Saga was great and very big in Germany. And so it's more like a band kind of thing, you know, not just a guitar player singing here and there. So I like to have great band music.
Okay, still here with Roland Grappow from Halloween. You know, one of the things I wanted to ask you, you guys are doing an album of covers, obviously, and you picked a lot of, you know, can you maybe tell us about some of the songs you picked? Because, you know, many of the songs that you picked were not like songs most bands would cover. You know, they're not Judas Priest songs, but, you know, they're late 60s, early 70s songs. They're like basically the very beginning, the very roots of, you know, the metal scene itself. You know, why'd you guys pick a lot of them? You know, what were some of the songs that you guys picked?
For the B-sides or for the new record?
For the new, for the covers record.
Oh, so, sorry.
Metal Jukebox.
Yeah, so I think it's not, we didn't pick the, from each band member, the obvious bands we really liked. Of course, we like all these bands we have on the Jukebox record now, but I don't have any Grand Funk tune or Journey songs on it, you know, so that's what I mean, so it's, I wanted to keep my idols a little bit, you know, not to tell everybody. So we picked something like which everybody likes and knows from the past, from the 70s, and we wanted to have the stamp of the Halloween sound on it, like ABBA, or even the Scorpions, of course, and, you know, Jethro Tull. And so that's what we wanted to do, not to show people, oh, these are our heroes. That's not the main reason for. So this record is more like a birthday cake for the Halloween fans. Because Halloween is existing now like 15 years, and I'm more than 10 years in the band, and the other two new members, like Uli Kirsch and Andy Darius, are 5 years. So it's like the 5-5-5, you know, kind of.
Make a wish.
6-6-5.
So anyway, so anyway, you sang on your first solo record, Foreseen the Life. Why did you decide to sing and you decided not to afterwards?
You know, it was something which I always wanted to do, and the problem is I started, of course, told you already, like, with Mark Farner together, the influence in the beginning of the 70s, I was starting with playing guitar and vocals, and I'm pretty, I would say 90% I have the same voice like Mark Farner on the Grand Funk tune. So this is more like very melodic, bluesy, soul-y kind of singing, which I, of course, like very much. But I'm not writing songs like that anymore. And, of course, I'm really into the 80s classical or classic metal, you know, influence. And, of course, I have a lot of Halloween style in my songs. So, which is, of course, the range of the vocals are much higher. And I had to change the technique to sing this high voice stuff. So I learned, of course, from the former singer Michael Kiske a lot, so he showed me a lot of tricks, and so when I started to learn this, I was already like 30s, and I think it was too late for that already, so it's not my normal kind of singing, so I tried to pretend like a metal opera singer like Geoff Tate or Michael Kiske, which I'm not, you know, so, and many people liked it, especially in South America, because they like this kind of high singing voice, but I don't think it's a natural thing for me, and so that's, I had a couple of bad reviews, especially in Europe, and I said to myself, so I don't need that to fight to get any response from the people, and so I said to myself, I'm a guitar player, I'm writing good songs now, and that's it, so I like to play the songs live, and which is much easier to have a singer in front of you, which you can trust, of course.
Now, speaking of
that,
I'm still here with Roland Grappow from one of the guitarists for Halloween. Now, you toured with Gamma Ray, and you did a few Halloween songs with Kai Hansen and the rest of the band and everything, you know. How was that? How was it doing that? And did you, you know, why did you guys decide to do it?
So when Kai asked me in the beginning of this year to join them on the end of the European tour, because the support band they had before, you know, played already in Spain and France. So he asked me if I would like to join them, and said, oh, man, it's a great idea. I like that, you know. I never was thinking about this so much, but I like the idea from the beginning because he's a former guitar player I replaced, and me with my band, so playing at the same day, and I could imagine that, of course, that Halloween fans will really like it, you know, and they liked it from the beginning. And so we played like 5 shows in Europe, and then we went to South America, and then we started to play some songs together, you know. And when we start this, I mean, there was really a warm-hearted thing, even for me, to play on stage with a band which I never played together, and we played Halloween, songs. And I felt home. It was like to playing with Halloween, you know. And the biggest difference was we played with 3 guitar players, you know, the other guy, Daniel Richter. So he was in a band I played long, long time ago, 20 years ago, so Rampage. He replaced me. So it's a small world, so a little story about it. So, but you know, I could feel the people loved it, and for me it was very special. It was really like a highlight, even in my career. It was great.
How surprised was there a huge crowd reaction when you just suddenly walked out on stage with Gamma Ray? Did this people just like all of a sudden just look and see, go nuts about that?
Oh, totally. they felt something is like, this is a big present for us. So I still get fan letters and emails from them, and especially Brazil. The Sao Paulo show was amazing. Yeah.
Okay, one more thing. We're with Roland Grappa from Halloween. So before I get going, I'm going to take some phone calls. So start dialing now, 440-826-2187. I mean, what did you have to say, you know, to any fans in the U.S. and people just tuning in right now that, you know, that really a lot of people haven't been exposed to this stuff before, which is the whole purpose of the marathon in the first place?
What should I say?
What do you have to say to the fans and, you know, and other people who are basically probably maybe just tuning in? I've never really heard this stuff before, and, and which is the reason this marathon is taking place, to kind of expose you guys a little more. And, what do you have to say to people like that?
I think it's a very nice thing, especially for North America. I mean, we played in the States like 10 years ago, I think.
I didn't have that recent show.
And maybe a lot of people doesn't know anymore about it. And so last time we played in New York for was Christmas last year, was Halloween special show. And we have a lot of fans still there, and that was really great. And everybody told me, like, America, no metal scene at all, that it's still there. And I heard Iron Maiden is really successful again. So I think it's really nice if you can hear all the songs we have now on the marathon. And so I think check Halloween out. It's the best thing now, what you're doing for them, you know.
Actually check out also www.halloween.org. Want to check that out as well. The website.
Oh, sorry, I'm joking.
Yeah.
It's my sense of humor, man. Wake up.
So anyway, don't hang up, because I saw people hang up now. Don't hang up. Just stay on the line. Roland's going to be here also. I'm going to play the song that Roland wrote, in the 70s, Angel Face?
Oh, yeah, that was the first song I wrote for my first girlfriend. And now it's on a record. I mean, man, that's
good. All right, well, hey, it's great talking to you.
Okay.
And it's great having you on the air for the marathon and everything like that. And we hopefully get to look forward to that great, great, every lovable character, Wikey, later on. Tonight at about 4 hours from now, actually. So we get to hear Wiking talk to the fans. So anyway, I'm going to cut you off now. Here is Angel Face, and give me a call.